God bless you all this afternoon, in the name of the Lord. It's good to be gathered in the house of the Lord again.
Amen.
Should we just start with singing 273, I'll See You in the Rapture. This afternoon. Dear Lord, we just come before you again, Lord, this afternoon. Lord, we thank you for the fellowship, Lord, Lord, around yourself, Lord, that you're the one that brings us together, Lord, around your, Lord, around your word and around yourself, Lord. And Lord, we just look forward to that rapture, Lord, where we'll be meeting together, Lord, with 10,000 upon 10,000, Lord, with Lord, every dry eye, Lord, you'll chase away every fear, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you for your goodness unto us. And as we meet this afternoon, Lord, we just ask that your precious Holy Spirit, Lord, would come amongst us, Lord, and it would be a time of fellowship, Lord, around your word, and that you would speak to us through it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's sing 274. He is, yes, God is real. Some things I may not know, some places, places I can't go, but I soul?
Amen.
Amen. Was there any items this afternoon? As Sister Pauline's finding one, we'll just sing 279, Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it.
redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child and forever I am.
Sister Pauline. Is after they've sung the song, so if there was any testimonies.
Throwing this together just now, it's very impromptu.
Crown of thorns placed on His head, He knew that He would give His life. He said, did You forget Me, Father, did You? Nailed Him to a wooden cross, soon all the world would feel the loss of Christ the King before His. Alleluia, 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 alleluia. He hung His head upon the His face in the sky, said, I'm coming home now, Father, to You. A ring which healed His final set was gently lifted to His neck. He breathed His last and gave His all to glory. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. To pierce the body.
Brother Pesa and his family are going to sing a song as well, Paul. So, thanks, Brother Pesa and family.
Oh, should perfect it richer now. Let peace, blood, assurance, control.
Brother Fisher and his family. If there was any testimonies, we have testimonies now. Sister Dawn. Thanks, Brother Paul.
Recently, we've had some changes in our life that we've become aware of, and I was getting pretty distressed about everything. And my spirit, my soul, some part inside of me was just like a washing machine. I thought, oh, if this keeps on, I'll end up in a terrible mess. And then I took it to Jesus, and I can't even explain how. I just really poured out my heart to him. And when his peace came in, it's something, nothing has changed, and yet everything has changed. Nothing in the physical has changed, but I have no fear. There's no turmoil going on inside of me anymore, and that can only be God. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. And the Spirit has reminded me of something happened when we were in Auckland around Christmas time into New Year. Could have been after New Year. And out in my, there are lots of our families in Auckland, and there was something that happened between our families, which, I mean, my auntie and my young brother's wife, they turned their back at each other. Since something, an occasion, Tongan occasion happened, there was very long time ago, last year, almost at the beginning, sometimes around that, can't remember. But then after that, then something happened. They had a bit of argument, and they, since that, they cut off the communication from them. They were very good friends, and I know about it, and I was just waiting, and I said, Lord, what am I going to do? Sometimes I forgot, and I came in here, and I went there, and I've seen what's happening, and I didn't even know, because, sorry today that auntie was kind of a person. She just want a boss in the family and all this. She didn't even want to surrender to anyone, even God. I knew that. There was a lot of things happened. But when this happened, then I thought, oh, I'm fed up with all this, and I can't stand it anymore. I can't do anything. And then, you know, when we went there in the Christmas time, then I thought, well, what's going to happen? Are they going to just be like that forever? But then I know I'm just powerless, and I'm just waiting, Lord, if you're going to use me. And then up to a moment that I couldn't really know what to do, and then the Lord, we were just going to turn around and come back here, leaving all this. I didn't want to face it anymore. I couldn't do anything, because there have been a lot of things happening between this auntie and lots of other people. And then we smoothed them out, we prayed to the Lord, and the Lord did all things. And I proved that the Lord was a great God, but when it came to this little problem, then I thought, oh, I don't know. I don't know what to do. And then something happened. Just the Lord has talked to me. He's going to use me. And then I talked to my brother's wife. I talked around my brothers, and I said, we've got to do something before we go back, because we're not going to go back without solving this problem. We're not going to be like this, because there was they agreed that after the New Year, we had to meet each other, you know. It was good times to see the family, the rest of the families. And then it came to me that we can't come back here after the New Year. We have to sort all this. That's what the Spirit is talking to me. And then I thought, yeah, we'll do it. And then I talked around the family, because before they had organized to do a family reunion in Auckland while we were there, before we came back. And then I agreed to this, and we had to stay a little bit longer until that family reunion finished. And I know that all the families are going to come and gather together, and we can't face each other without solving this problem, you know. We love my brother's wife, I love my auntie, and I don't know what's going to end up. We can't face each other, you know, when we come to the reunion. And then I organize something, I talk to them, and then it went right through smooth, you know. I had to bring out my two brothers, let's go talk to my auntie. We went and talking there with my brother's wife. And I didn't believe what the Holy Spirit was doing, you know. And then after all, we came down to the family reunion. Everyone was happy, and I said, oh, thank you, Lord. You are the power and the glory. Unless we are powerless, unless we believe and trust in you, of course you're going to do what we want. And thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord.
Any others? No? All right, we'll sing one more song and then I'll ask Brother Hale to come. Let's sing 302, Come and Dine.
Just pray the Lord will bless us this afternoon for a few moments. Just say this service is normally a shorter service because we're all of Eton. And we just pray that the Lord will speak to us this afternoon. Appreciate everybody that's testified and sung and been very good to see the gifts of God amongst us. Praise God. I want to speak on quite an important subject, I believe, and I've entitled it Guarding Our Testimony. Guarding Our Testimony. You think you don't have to guard it, you do. And so I just pray the Lord will speak to us, and I'd like to turn to Genesis chapter 41, verse 1 to 4. It says, and it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed. And behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came out of the river 7 well-favoured kine, and fat-fleshed, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came, the cows, by the way. 7 other cows came up after them out of the river, ill-favoured and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other king cows upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favoured and lean-fleshed king did eat up the 7 well-favoured and fat king. So Pharaoh awoke. I'll just read that in the Amplified Version, just to give you a bit of clarity. After 2 full years, Pharaoh dreamed that he stood by the river Nile. And behold, there came up out of the river Nile 7 well-favoured cows, sleek and handsome and fat. They grazed in the green grass in the marshy pasture. And behold, 7 other cows came up after them out of the river Nile, ill-favoured, gaunt and ugly, and stood by the fat cows on the bank of the river. And the ill-favoured, gaunt and ugly cows ate up the 7 well-favoured fat cows. Then Pharaoh woke. I just want to read one more verse in Matthew, chapter 5, verse 14. And the Lord speaking here. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. May the Lord just bless his word. Shall we just pray? Lord Jesus, we love you with all our hearts, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that you'll come and speak to us for a few moments from your word. Lord, that we may be a little more equipped to face the world out there, Lord, that we're not a part of, but we're amongst. So, Lord, we just ask now that you'd quicken to every heart the things that you'd have us know. We ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. And I believe this is a very important subject which affects everybody. I believe it would be prudent for each one to listen carefully. For it will not just take effect, it will not just affect you and I, but others. And you know, as I've gone along life's journey, I've been a Christian over 50 years. And I've seen this happen around me. And I realise the importance of guarding our testimony, how important it is. And I want to use Pharaoh's dream as a background for our topic. Pharaoh's dream was in parable form, of course, we know, foretelling of the great famine that was about to come. But to see also another parable that we can all benefit by, the good cows and the bad cows show our testimony through life. It's really interesting, actually, and I pray that the Lord will bless it. Now, these good cows, the good ones, the fat ones, ones that are flourishing, healthy, and they came out of the river Nile and represent, I believe, the years of a wonderful walk with God, the time when times were going good, times are refreshing, and a great testimony to others. And people benefit from the good cows. They benefit. And the uplifting, encouraging life we display to all. You know, brother and sister, people are not silly. They can read you like a book. You think only Christians know about you? No, everybody knows about you. When you walk amongst people, they know whether you're real. They know whether you're putting it on. They know whether you're sincere. People are not silly. They are very discerning. I've come to find that. People are very discerning. They know whether you are a real Christian or you're just a church member. They can tell the difference. And so it was a great strengthening in many lives, unknowingly, that when these people were walking right, times when people were greatly blessed by our testimony. And during that time, precious souls were led to the Lord. Sometimes you haven't even seen the outcome of your life. You've been a testimony to somebody, and later on, down the road, they come to know the Lord as your testimony was something that started them to really start thinking about their life. And during that time, precious souls were led to the Lord. Mainly because of our testimony, that is, the way we lived, our sincerity, our fervency of spirit that we displayed each day. And like the cows, we had a healthy testimony witnessed by many. Our simplicity of the Word of God flourished, seasoned by prayer. You know, it's when you see a person really walking close to God, it does affect you. It does. It makes you sit up and say, Lord, I want to be like that too. And God, may God grant back to us our spiritual health. Now, why I say that, because we're going to talk about the bad cows too. These cows foretell the great battles that each one will endure. The tragedy of all tragedies is the bad cows ate up the good cows. Now, this is really something. You know, let me say it like this. You could live a good life for 20 years. And people look at you and are blessed by your testimony. And you can destroy it in 2 minutes. You can actually destroy your testimony by doing something foolish. And people lose confidence. All that you did before just passes away. Because they see, they're confused. Because 1 minute you're doing this, and next minute you're doing something else. You were walking a good life, and now you're walking a bad life. You see, brothers and sisters, we're going to be held accountable one day for that. We've got to be consistent in our faith. We're not up, down, here, today, gone, tomorrow. And so I could see that this was like a little type here. Tragedy of all tragedies, the bad cows ate up the good cows. That was awful, wasn't it? And we know it's talking about the famine. But, you know, it just seems like it's the bad things people seem to remember best about you. Not the good things. The good things are quickly overrun by the bad things until that which was once a blessing can hardly be seen anymore. When we think of our days of slothfulness, I call spiritual laziness, as a result of carnal busyness. These days of spiritual slothfulness, which have ruinously destroyed all that we had achieved, as we would say, in the years of plenty. It's all been washed away. It just seems that we live close to God and we're blessing to people, then we get slack and people get confused. The Bible says, know ye not that you're an epistle, a book read by all men? They're reading you every day of your life, not just in church, out in the street too. In your work, wherever you are, you've been read by people. People are watching how you live. Whether we acknowledge it or not, they are watching our lives. We are either a lighthouse of blessing or we are a lighthouse of confusion to them. There's nothing worse than a double life. There's nothing worse than you take a testimony and stand here then the next week they see you doing something else which is contrary to what you're doing here. And brother and sister, that's a terrible thing. The bad cows come in and they destroy all the good that you were displaying to the people, not of yourself, but the Lord through you, and then it just gets gobbled up. And there's much scripture about that. So whether we like to acknowledge or not, people are watching our lives. The scriptures declare this very thing. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, we read, "Ye are the light of the world." Now think about that. I thought Jesus was the light of the world. Wasn't he? He was. So how is it, says Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." I'll tell you how. It's by having him inside of us. He's still the light, brother. He's still shining. It's by having Christ in the vessel. And that's how the light shines. We have no light of our own. But if his light comes into us, if his Holy Spirit is living in us, they see Christ living in you. It says, "A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that it may give light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So to me, that is a great responsibility, that we live right, conduct ourselves right, say the right things. You know, we just got to, by the help of the Holy Spirit, live for him. If we're living for him, people will see Christ living in you. Unfortunately, they can also work in the opposite direction. When the bad cows are allowed to come out, the old bad habits are resurrected, because we shift away from our prayer life. We shift away from seeking God and reading his word. You know, we get caught up with other things. As Jesus said, the cares of this life, they choke the word and become unfruitful. You know, brother and sister, we've got to give our whole life to the Lord. Who wants to give their whole life to the Lord? Brother and sisters, that is where the testimony comes, when there's a total dedication and consecration unto God, that he may come in and shine out of us. No wonder Jesus said, "Let your light so shine." You know, the trimming of the lamps. We were talking about this in Christchurch the other day. The trimming of the lamps. Why did it say, "Trim your lamps"? They had to trim their lamps because they're sooted up. Your lamp can be sooted even though the light's shining. And the light's not being seen because of the soot in the lamp. And our ways and our little isms, things we have in our life, are hindering the light shining. So we need God to come and trim us up. And may God help us to trim back all those things that are holding back our testimony. So we see it's really important. So back to these bad cows' influence. The seasons of coldness have frozen all the glow we once had. People say, "Oh, not me." I've seen it, brother and sister. I've been around a long time. Quite a long time. Not as long as Brother Taz, but getting there. And I have seen people get sooted up. They allow things to get in their life and destroys their testimony. It's terrible. It grieves me when I see that. I'm not against people. I'm just so sorry and so sad to see that happen. They were such a blessing. And you say, "Where's brother so-and-so now? Or sister so-and-so? Oh, they don't come anymore. And they're this and that." You know, brother and sister, I think that's really sad. I reckon God wants to live through us day by day, every day, getting closer and closer to him. Who wants to get closer to the Lord? We want to let his light shine through us. We've got to have our mirrors clean. We've got to have our glass clean, because we can have a lovely bright light in there, but if we're cluttered up with the things of this world and the flesh and our life, it hinders him shining. It's awful. So may God help us all. So we see the seasons of coldness have frozen all the glow we once had. During the periods of fervency and enthusiasm and warmth, the terrible fits of worldliness have thrown us back. All of a sudden we get a hankering for something. We know it's not right, so it doesn't matter just once. It does matter just once. You do that thing that you know you should not be doing, could cost somebody their soul. Now, I'm not saying it would, but it can. I thought they were Christians. I thought they had a standard. Now their standards are gone. So those things we've got to be very careful of. From our advantages in the divine life with Christ, we don't even know why we did it. It was just a quick dabble of the world. It doesn't matter if I just pop down and do this or see that. If you've got a question about doing something, you shouldn't do it. If you've got a question mark, the Bible says abstain from the very appearance of evil. It doesn't even have to be evil. If it just looks like it, stay away from it. God's trying to tell you something. You're sooting up your glass. You're sooting up the lamp. So we need to be aware of these lean prayers, lean praises. We don't worship the Lord anymore like we used to. You know, it's always an effort to praise the Lord. I want to say it is an effort to praise the Lord. It's a sacrifice of praise. But it's really wonderful when you can praise the Lord. Who wants to praise Him? Let's say, praise the Lord. That's good. That's a good practice. You know, brothers and sisters, if it comes from us instantaneously to worship and to praise Him, then I believe it really helps us to draw closer to the Lord Jesus. Well, all these things will eat up the fat of our comfort and peace if we allow these things to slip in. In Pharaoh and Joseph's time, the granaries were full for 7 years. Blessings fell every night. The fellowship was sweet and rewarding. But now, if we neglect our prayer for ever so short a time, we lose all the spirituality we once had gained in the good years. Backsliding is a shocking thing. You know, listen, when you're going down a river, you've all been in a river, you've all rowed a boat. You're going upstream. There's a little bit of a current coming down. So you row a bit harder because you're travelling it forward. You're going up the river. You know how to backslide? Just don't do anything. And you'll go back automatically. You want to backslide? Just don't pray. You'll backslide automatically. It's just in you to do that. It's in your makeup. We need to constantly trim our lamps. Constantly wait on the Lord. We can't just have, oh, I'm going to have a revival with the Lord. You know, for a few weeks we're praising God, then the next few weeks we do nothing and we just slowly go back. We don't have the fervency. We don't have the burden for souls. There's something wrong. It's because we're not in communion with our Lord. We've got to keep up that communion. And brothers and sisters, these things are very real to me. If we don't keep our communion with God, we're backsliding. We're not praying, we're backsliding. End of it. You know, if you want to get closer to God, read your Bible and pray. That's the best formula. Read your word and seek the face of God. People say, oh, Brother Howard, you don't understand. I haven't got time. I say, make time. Make time. Redeeming the time, the Bible says, for the days are evil. So we need to redeem the time. Make good use of the opportunity God's given you. You're only going to live this life once. Now's your time to serve Him. We lose that spirituality that we attained in the good years. If we draw no fresh supplies from heaven, and they're fresh every morning. His mercies are fresh every morning. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that good, Paul? His mercies are fresh every morning. He's always willing to bless you and help you. Don't you love the Lord? Who loves Him? Amen. You know, it's really good to praise Him and to thank Him for His goodness to us. If we don't do that, the old corn in the granary soon becomes consumed and depleted by the famine which rages in our soul. So backsliding, be it ever so small, leaves us still afar off from the prize of the high calling. It robs us of the advantages which we had so laboriously made. What a tragedy it is to mar our testimony. Brother and sister, it's a tragedy to mar our testimony. Because it's not just affecting you, it's affecting everybody that you were a blessing to before. It's like when a minister's been used of God, and I hate to bring the subject up, but it's true. When a minister's been really used of God, and all of a sudden we find out he's fallen in sin, What damages that does across the world. Many people are stumbled and confused, especially young Christians, and thrown into total disarray because this man that was a lighthouse has become something different. So it's a great responsibility when we think of this, guarding our testimony. It's not just affecting you, it's affecting everybody else around you. You know what the Bible says? How easy it is to do that? I'll read you a scripture in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 1. It's about dead flies. Dead flies cause the ointment. The ointment of the perfumer. That's what it means. All these flash words. But I'll read it to you in the Amplified. Dead flies cause the ointment of the perfumer to putrefy and send forth a vile odor. So does a little folly. A little folly. In him who is valued for wisdom, outweigh wisdom and honor. Now that is an amazing thing, brother and sister. You can live right, do right, speak right. People say, they are a real Christian. And then they see you fooling around and joking about things you shouldn't be joking about. And that destroys, actually destroys, makes it putrefied. Putrefies your testimony. It's a terrible thing. May God deliver us from this. May God be gracious to us not to get caught up on the wrong things and bring a wrong testimony. Watch how you speak. Watch how you behave yourself at all times and the things you say. Don't go around criticizing people, for instance. Just stay out of there. Just love the Lord and love His people. If you see something wrong, pray for them. Because we can destroy people's confidence very, very quickly. It is saying if a man or woman has an honourable testimony, one who displays wisdom and honour is found to be involved in folly, their testimony is unusual. It's just like beautiful fragrance becomes putrefied by dead flies. Isn't that terrible? Flies get amongst it and they go dead and bad and putrefy that lovely thing. Your testimony can happen like that if we're not careful. All that was good has lost its appeal. It's very sad and remorseful. You know, if we just get a hold of this in our hearts, brother and sister, we can get this in our hearts. This is not just, oh, this is a sermon or this is teaching. It's not that. It's got to get in our hearts. Watch your testimony. Guard your testimony. Watch how you're living. Watch how you're coming over to people in the sense of saying the wrong things. I remember one time, I was just telling this the other day to somebody in Christchurch. I was invited to go to some meetings, quite big meetings, about 600 or 800 people in Germany. Big convention there, and there's another brother there, he was from another country, and he was saying some rather strange things that I didn't agree with, so I didn't say anything. Anyway, to cut a long story short, we had a real blessing. I saw many people filled with the Spirit of God, wonderful move of God's Spirit. And you know what happened? Eventually they invited the ministers to a luncheon thing, and I was sitting next to this other man and the other ministers of Germany and Holland and that were there. And they just made this statement, a brother talking to this man, why did you say such and such? And brother, why did you say this? And I thought to myself, well, I could say something. I could answer that. Something said to me, hold your peace. I tell you, very direct, keep your mouth shut. And I thought, well, that's strange, because I could answer that very quickly. And so maybe I'll just say something. And I went to speak and open my mouth and I could not speak. And brother and sister, you have to take my word for it, I could not utter anything. And like a little voice in my heart said, I told you to say nothing. And I thank God for that. Because it could destroy the blessings that we had had that week by me saying that. So I didn't say anything. I was so happy afterwards. I was so happy. So see, our words can undermine what's happened in our life. How careful we need to be. So what can we do is the question as we come to the end of this. What can we do? For none of us are exempt from these things. We're all guilty in some way or another, sometime in our life. We all need the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. For without him, we can do nothing. There's nothing you can do without the Lord. That's why I was speaking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost this morning. How needful that is. We need his anointing. We need his power. We need the Holy Ghost, brother and sister. We can't do without it. Otherwise, we're dead as a doornail, and it's not working. May God help us. How many times we regretted these moments of failure at the expense of precious souls around us. The only way in which all our days can be The only way in which all our days can be as good cows is to feed them on the right meadow. And this is the right meadow, his word. We just need to feed on his word, what he says. Feed more upon his word, waiting before him in prayer, to spend more time with our Lord in his service and in his company. In his fear, the fear of God. And in his ways. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear is not God's going to beat you down. It's not that sort of fear. It's a fear that you'll be outside of his word and displeasing him. Let me ask you a question. Why should not every year be richer than the one past? In love and joy and usefulness for God. We are nearer to those celestial hills. We are nearer to heaven than ever before. Oh Lord, keep us far from the curse of leanness of soul. Leanness of soul. It's a terrible thing. David said, Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. David was concerned. People say, oh, David was close to God. He was very close to God. He'd been through some very deep waters. He messed up badly, as we know. But he knew how to repent. He knew how to get close to God and say, Lord, save me, I pray, Lord. My soul thirsteth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Brother and sister, if we're not thirsting for God, we need help. We need to say, God, I'm not thirsting for you. I'm not seeking you. I am a drifter. God, help me. You need to be honest. If you want help, be honest with God and he can help you. Say to him, Lord, you know what I am. I can't hide from you, neither do I want to. But I want to get closer to you. May we be well fed and nourished in thy house, that we may praise thy name. So, brother and sister, let us, as we go out this week, to guard our testimony in everything. Watch what we say. Even say things that could be taken the wrong way. You've got to watch that too. We just want it to be say the right things at the right time. A word in season, how good it is, the Bible says. Saying the right thing at the right time. We don't want to say the wrong things. So may God help us all to guard our testimony. You may not have thought it like this, but guarding your testimony could save many others. I remember one time, don't mention names or even give any hint, somebody said to me, oh, do you know so-and-so? I said, yes. I said, they're a Christian. What? He said, they're a Christian? I didn't know that. He didn't know that they were a Christian and known each other for years. Don't let that be my testimony. I want people to know that I love the Lord. Who loves the Lord Jesus? And we want to shine forth the praises to others of what the Lord has done for us. That's why it's so good to testify and have a testimony. So may God bless us and help us to guard our testimony this day, this week. And always be conscious of it. Just careful how we conduct ourselves. What we think about. What we do. Do you know the angel of the Lord said one time that your thoughts speak louder in heaven than your words do. So what you think about is very important. Who loves the Lord?
Amen.
Praise God. Shall we just stand to our feet? Your head's bowed. Lord Jesus, we come to thee. Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity for a few moments to consider these things, Lord. Lord, to realize that that which is good can be eroded away very quickly by that which is bad if we allow that to come in, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us to guard our testimony carefully. Because we know that men, we are written epistles, your word says, seen and read of all men. They're reading our testimony, Lord. And when they come to a chapter, Lord, and it's contrary to the first chapter, they don't understand. Lord, may you just help us to guard that. Help us to be careful, circumspect, diligent. May our fervency be pure, Lord. Our motive be pure. We give this to you now, Lord, in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. May you bless every brother and every sister here, Lord. We commit ourselves to you now, Lord. Pray that the word of God will go in our hearts this day. We consider these things well. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain. Let's sing it now.
Jesus, keep me near the cross.
That's
it.
Come forward as we sing the next verse.
Thank you.
I asked you all, after you heard what you heard this afternoon, is that correct? I bet you'd be yeses all round. That would be it. You know, we can't hide from the Lord. You and I know that. So why even try? He just wants us to be open. He didn't come here to judge us. He came here to save us. So just know that we want to have the Lord shining on us. We're going to sing the chorus, "Shine on me, Lord, shine on me," number 204.
Shine on me, Lord, shine on me. Let the light from the lighthouse shine on me. Shine on me, Lord, shine on me. Let the light from the lighthouse shine on me, 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 Lord, shine.
Jesus, that's exactly what we want. We're not being greedy, wanting the Lord to shine on us, Lord, because we know it's a fact that you want to shine on us more than we want you to shine on us. And you know all about us, Lord, not what we're going to do tomorrow or what we did yesterday. It's from the beginning of the earth until everlasting life. You know every move, where we went wrong, where we went right. And you are aware of all these things. And we love you, Lord Jesus. And we just say thank you for being here with us this afternoon. Cause us to dwell on what was spoken about. And you folks out there on the internet and CDs, and when you get the information, just hold it to your heart. The Lord will see us through, because he's promised that he would do that. Let's sing the song, "I Saw Love, Mercy and Grace," before we just dismiss. C flat 207. Help us, Lord, to be that signpost for other people that we meet. And if they don't know where they can meet, if they can't find you, Lord, may they come here and just listen to find out the Lord God knows them personally, has always done so, and loved us, gave his all for us. Be with these people as we dismiss at this time. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.